This episode of Walsh Wednesday is brought to you by NHA of Dutchess County, Foman Wash Car Wash, Juniors 2, the Kyle Robinson Memorial Foundation, the Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Dayrock, Feldman Kleiman Collins and Sape LLP, Attorneys at Law, and Walsh Valuation.
Let's stay curious, keep an open mind, and as always, I'm glad we get to spend some time. Welcome to Walsh Wednesday.
Spend some time.
I was going to say, theater people, why,
yeah, like, one take.
I shouldn't doubt at all
gosh,
that you guys would get it. No,
Vanessa and I also Bluetooth sometimes, where it's just,
we say the same thing at the same that time, over and over and over.
That is a great way to put it.
Yeah. No, my friend Sophia, who has also done shows, definitely, who mentioned, like, okay, Bluetooth me through for a second. I'll be like, okay, and then we'll get it.
I love that. Hey there, and welcome back to Walsh Wednesday. As always, I'm Connor Walsh, and we got a great episode for you guys today here at the MHA Studios in Poughkeepsie. I first became familiar with this theater group around 2022 when they were doing Howie the Rookie and the Ukraine plays. That was when I was still back at the radio station. But right now, we got them in studio right now. With us today, we have, from Definitely Human Theater, we have Vanessa Baer and Madison Canella in to promote their upcoming show, Next Door, that's going to be playing at the Center for Performing Arts in Rhinebeck, July 31st through August 2nd. Vanessa, Madison, how are you guys?
Good. Thank you so much for having us.
So happy to have y'all here. No, this is great. So it's crazy that, very first time that I became familiar with your theater group, it was through Joey. Mm-hmm. Joey and Patrick, I interviewed both of them over at Town Square Media for In Touch. Mm-hmm. And that was relatively early on for you guys. Wasn't Howie the Rookie like the first show that Definitely Human put on?
Yeah, when you said that, I was like, whoa, wild. That was when we started. It was 2022. And it was just myself, Joey, Patrick, and our other collaborator and co-founder, Brooke. Just four of us and a dream. And a lot of late nights putting that show. And this is... Yeah, this upcoming show is a huge growth from where that was. Howie the Rookie was this two-person, like, tour de force where it was monstrous monologue after monologue and really just centered on, like, this one person the whole time for each act. Mm. And Next Door is this big, loud, larger-than-life ensemble play with 13 women in it.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's significant.
It's really exciting.
So is it an all-female cast then?
Yes. Yep.
That's cool. It's very, very
all
neat.
All women. Yes.
And so you are one of the leads in that. Could you describe your character and what people can expect? No spoilers, though.
No. See, that's the thing about Brenda. She really can't talk about it because she just doesn't know.
Oh, okay.
So I play Brenda in Next Door, and it's basically something terrible has happened next door in her own house, and everyone wants to find out what it is. She has neighbor after neighbor after neighbor visiting, asking her for the details. They want to check on her as well, kind of as a ploy to get the juicy gossip.
But they're all nosy.
They're all nosy. And, like, it's worth finding out when you do find out.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So when I was reading online, it's kind of got a dark comedy kind of vibe to it. At mm-hmm. least that's what I read. Would you guys say that's accurate to the description of this, or how would you describe the genre?
Yeah. Dark comedy, dark and comedy are two words I would use to describe it.
Okay.
It leans on horror a lot. When we were reading the mm-hmm. play through, and this is part of why we chose it, everything Definitely Human does has this horror edge to it. This darkness is something we really gravitate towards. When we were reading the play, one of the quotes in the beginning of the play, you know, one of the precursors to the thing when they include, like, quotes from other things, was this essay on objection and this 100-page essay on horror and the abject, which is, like, your relationship to horror and your understanding of yourself within the scheme of horror. And
it's like you see yourself in it, and so it scares you more, kind of
Kind of that mirroring aspect
Yeah.
Fascinating. All right, so...
I would also say it verges on true crime in terms of the content. Yeah.
Interesting. Was it based on any kind of crimes?
Yeah, I would say yes.
Okay, but
even reading it, seeing it, if you are, like, a true crime person, you'll be like, I know exactly what they're talking about.
Okay, so we really can't talk about what crime it is, otherwise it really gives everything away. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, we won't do that. Well, don't worry, I won't ruin anything for you guys. But that's fantastic. So this is cool. So I'm not very familiar with Next Door. This is the first time that I'm hearing about this show. Is this bigger in certain circles, or did you guys purposely pick it because of its ambiguity?
So the fun thing about this is that we are actually the first theater company ever to be doing a fully produced version of this show.
Really?
We can't call it the premiere because it's amateur, it's community theater.
Okay.
But the playwright is phenomenal, and she's a playwright that I think is really, like, gaining traction, and we found her at this beautiful moment of, like, She hasn't exploded yet, but she's totally going to.
Let's have that happen.
Knock on wood. So this production has only been produced as staged readings, as workshop productions, and we're going to be the first team that fully produces it top to bottom. Costumes, lights, sound, all the things. Pulling out all the stops. And the playwright, Hannah Keim, she's a Chicago-based playwright. She's got a couple of plays. We found her through this play. We read it. We found it on...
New
Play Exchange. Yeah. Thank you. Which is just this website where playwrights put out their work and you can grab it and read whatever. And it's a large amount of things you can find on that website. We found Next Door. We read it. We got together with a bunch of friends, fell in love with it. We found another play of hers called Dogs, which is about the 4th of July Women's Hot Dog Eating Contest, which we put up last year.
Nice. Okay.
and all of her plays have this edge, this like... absurdist quality to it, where it's dark and it's comedic and it's equally horror as it is comedy. And on every read, you're finding, more comedy and more horror in it, and you're just kind of waffling with which way to go and how to make both live together.
Oh, that's a great combination of all the different genres in that. That's really cool. And certainly fits what I'm at least familiar with Definitely a Human, from talking with Joey and Patrick all the way back then and following along. Definitely want to get into that a little bit more in a second. But so Madison, now being one of the leads in this show and having this kind of dichotomy of having a little comedy, having some of the darkness to it, having some of the horror, is this something that you're attracted to as an actor? Is this something that just kind of landed in your lap and was like, all right, I'll take this opportunity?
So I was actually with them when we read the script like a year ago.
First
time. Yeah. You've actually met Joey and Patrick just before I did, because I started doing shows with Definitely Human back in 2023 when they did Dance Nation.
Okay.
And what I really love about this theater org and what they do is they really facilitate a community, because a lot of other places you do theater, it's like you do a show, you have friends in the show, and then you don't see them if you're not rehearsing. But they really facilitate a community outside of that by, like, we'll read plays together, we'll go see theater together. So I was with them when they read this play, and from the get-go, I was like, I would be any person in this show. I would be a tray of lasagna in this show if I could, straight up. So I was, like, I was chomping at the bit for this audition, and I did Dogs with them. So, like, I had read Hannah Keim stuff other than Next Door, and it is really funny, and it does get really, like, emotional or scary, and being an actor, that is an attractive thing because it allows you to get lower with the lows and higher with the highs because you have them so close next to each other.
Oh, wow.
And it helps. It is written in a way where the audience is far more engaged, and it's a fun show to do. Like, it doesn't matter the budget you have for the show or the amount of time you spend rehearsing. If you can tell the actors are not having a good time, you're not going to have a good time. Mm-hmm. And with this show, you can tell. I hope you'll be able to tell how much fun we had during the rehearsal process, because it's like, even in the darkest of dark moments, you're laughing at it because it's like you're doing theater with your friends, and this is a crazy scenario to be in.
Oh, that's lovely. I can just tell from the brightness on your face as you're describing it. It doesn't sound like a bright show, but it sounds like you had fun with it and definitely exploring the themes within it. That's fascinating.
See, crazy, if you see it, you'll be like, you had fun doing that?
There's something cathartic about it, though. Absolutely. You know, as somebody who's done plenty of theater myself, it's like, it's cool to channel some of the characters, some of the themes. I remember one scene in particular that I did. I'm blowing up and exploding at everybody on stage. And then afterwards, it's like, all right, so lunch, guys, right? So what are we going over to Hurricanes?
No, literally.
And just like the absolute like transition, and people on stage are like, I'm kind of terrified. Where was that coming from? It was like, oh, just, you know, whatever. Just like, so Hurricane swings. Yeah. just essentially like that. But that's really, really neat. So let's bring it back a little bit then. You said that you got in around 2023, but you were one of the founders of it all. Definitely Human. It's kind of got, the name essentially means a number of different things. When it comes to theater, you think human, you think of having people on stage, and it's one of the most human experiences that you can have. But as you alluded to already, there's a bit of that eeriness, that creepiness, there's a mystery to it. So would you like to dive into that for us?
Yeah, and I feel like the name is kind of taking on more meanings as the years go on that we couldn't have even predicted. At the synthesis of it, we chose Definitely Human because of that human connection and that real tangible, ephemeral nature of theater, where it's like it happens once, it's you, it's the audience all in a room doing this storytelling, sharing this moment, and then it's gone. I mean, unless you record it, but most of the time it's, you know, and then it's gone.
You still, even watching it again, it's hard to capture and feel what you felt there in the moment.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm with you there.
Exactly. And then our logo is all cryptids, so we also have this kind of edge on, it's not quite human. There is this eeriness, this surrealness. We also all just really dig cryptids. Mm-hmm. so yeah, we're like, we chose that representation of something more abstracted and eerie and, you know, outside of the norm. And then it's starting to take on new meanings to me as well.
Okay.
Like, we recently kind of were getting feedback just about like how AI has infiltrated everything. And they're like, oh, definitely human. Like,
you could not have predicted
like,
that
oh
years
my God,
ago.
No. And I was like, no, we started a while before it got big. But yeah, there's also that like when everything is becoming manufactured all the way down to like your email conversations with your coworkers at work and like just everything kind of has this layer of genericness over it. I think it's doubly important to be in theaters, you know, in rooms where it's just human to human storytelling and there is no filter over it. There is no polish. There is no, you know, person putting a robot guise over everything.
That's fascinating. The AI element. It's funny how much I've talked about AI on a number of our programs. Didn't even register with the definitely human connotation there.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. One thing, a conversation I had recently, there's this musician, Maggie Rose, and we were talking about live performances. She said how there's an urgency and a forgiveness to the stage. Mm. She was speaking specifically like when she's performing as a musician, but I feel like that transitions as well into acting, stage plays, anything along those lines. So Madison, with coming in not too long after, how do you feel like you would define definitely human personally? Is there anything that like Vanessa hasn't said that kind of clicks with you?
I mean, I think in terms of like the origin of it all, she's obviously got it covered. She was there. She's mom. Like she's got it. But in terms of, I guess, also the human aspect of that is the way the space functions in real time. Because I think a lot of the times in theater, like there's the director, the stage manager, the people who have the orders, and the people who follow the orders. Mm-hmm. In the room, all bets are off. It's not. It is like chaos in the best way possible because everyone gets their input in and that input is heard and really reinforces what the group is doing. Because mm-hmm. like if someone in the cast is like, hey, I don't think my character would do that, or like they have a question, it's not, oh, whatever. It's like, well, what do you think? Like have the conversation about it. Or like, it's just not rigid. It is interpersonal in like the best way. It is like human interaction at the end of the day.
That's great. It's great to have that sense of community and also that openness to people feel confident to ask questions and people feel comfortable to receive questions because that's difficult in any kind of group setting. That, funny enough, that was a conversation I was literally just having earlier today on another show we recorded. So it seems to be the theme of the day.
Yeah.
No, that's lovely though. So
people want to interact with other people.
Yes, without a doubt. Yep.
Any outsider looking in on our process would go, whoa, that's pretty inefficient. But I really strongly believe that an inefficient room is the best room to be in.
Yeah.
Because you open up this space, you know, you've got the sound designer in, you've got the lighting designer in, you've got the entire management team. All of the actors are all pushing for this centralized vision. And everyone agrees on the story that we're telling. And everyone comes in with such a passion about the work that we're doing and the story that we're telling. And all of the feedback and all of the thoughts, it's just a yes, yes, yes zone. Mm-hmm. You know, the sound designer goes, oh, I have a note about the acting. And we're like, yes, please get in here. Tell us.
Storytelling doesn't require efficiency. It's like,
no,
not a part of that.
Yeah. And like the strongest ensembles, the strongest ensembles are the ones that have time to hang out and be a collective and talk about the work and joke about the work and totally go off on side tangents and get sidetracked and just hang out and be in space with each other. And then we all come back collectively to create this phenomenal living, breathing thing that we all have a piece in. It's my favorite thing.
That's lovely. No, there's something beautiful about art in particular. You could say it about any collaborative thing, but definitely with art, the more like you know the group of people that you're working with, the trust that goes into it and the layers that you're able to add to the characters, it's not just simply like your characters understanding the other characters. You're just all learning to trust each other in this big dance of putting on this choreographed show, whatever that might be. I think that's great. So I got a fun question now. I remember with Joey and Patrick, they were talking about the cryptids and essentially everybody kind of like picked a cryptid in the very beginning and they talked about theirs. I would like to know what cryptids you guys relate with. So Vanessa, with being one of the founders, I'm sure you're in on that initial discussion. Where'd you land?
Oh yeah, so I landed with the jackalope, partly because the Loch Ness monster was taken. So my name is Vanessa, so it's like
I know Nessie. But then, yep, that would have been good.
Yep, but then one of the other co-founders, Brooke, has like a really actual deep and connected relationship with that cryptid. So I was like, yeah, I get it. I'll do a different one. Okay. So I went with the jackalope, partially because it's really cute.
Is it sad that it took me many years to realize that it wasn't a real animal?
Same. Genuinely sad.
I thought like it was like an Australian animal or something. Because like,
leave it to Australia.
Exactly. Out of any place on earth that would have it, Australia, right? That's what I honestly thought. It was probably like late high school, early college. I was like, yeah, jackalope. I was like, Connor, you know they're not real. It's like, what? All right, sorry, I'm cutting you off. But yeah, talk about the jackalope then.
When I was digging into kind of the lore of the jackalope, I found this energy of this, like, kind of, not sneaky, but kind of, like, adaptable and kind of weaving in and out of things nature to it, where it could just kind of, like, blend in and fit in where it needed to. And that felt really important to me, because in the beginning, when it was just the four of us, it was really each one of us taking on as many roles as we can and just either learning things, figuring things out ourselves, imbuing that knowledge onto others. For the first three shows that we did, I was teaching lighting design to whoever was coming on, you know, teaching management, teaching all of these different modalities of how to be involved more technically. So that's kind of the role I saw myself in, was one that needed to kind of shape-shift depending on where the gaps were. So
That's a big role to have.
Yeah.
Not only are you having your own roles, but you're trying to teach and pass it on to other people as well. That's a lot all at once. Give you
and
a lot of credit for that.
So.
And it's a bunny.
And I love that.
It's a bunny with antlers. Come on. So good. So now I'm curious about you. I know you came in a year later, but I'm sure there must have been some cryptids that you were able to claim.
Oh, yeah. Not as deep or complex of an answer as Vanessa, but I chose Champ, the sea monster from Lake Champlain.
Yes.
I'm originally from Vermont, so I figured you could find both of us on the New York-Vermont border.
I like that. I like that. See, okay, you said it wasn't as deep, but that's pretty significant
it's solid there, too.
You might be able to summarize it quicker, but still deep. Still good. Oh, my God. I like that. Both great cryptids, and I love the duality to it all. I like the stuff that you guys are trying to do on stage. That's awesome. Personally, I've always had an interest in the Jersey Devil myself. Who's got Jersey Devil out of the crew? There's got to be somebody, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I'm telling you, we need an Excel spreadsheet.
We do need an Excel spreadsheet.
New cast members also keep joining.
That's fair.
And the thing is, you can also double up. So we've got a couple of people who have claimed, like, Loveland Frog or, you know.
Yeah.
there are some popular ones. Oh my gosh, I can't remember. But you can have
good.
It. When you join us on our next show,
I appreciate it. I'll be the honorary Jersey Devil at least. Whoever is officially can have it and all, but that's great. I love that.
And pause. We're going to take a quick break from our interviews to hear from our sponsors.
Mental Health America of Dutchess County and Reviver Entertainment Group present The Sound of Nashville in the Hudson Valley's Queen City. Featuring headliner, Grand Ole Opry member, and CMT Award nominee, Craig Morgan. With supporting acts, two-time Grammy nominee Maggie Rose. But you'll catch it every time. Finalist of season 19 of The Voice and Hudson Valley native Ian Flanagan. So damn long. Viral sensation Jake Banfield and special guest Broadway to country star Brooke Morabra. The Sound of Nashville, one night only. Tuesday, October 6th at the Bardavon Opera House in Poughkeepsie, New York. Visit bardavon.org for ticket information.
For 60 years, we here at Foam and Wash Car Wash pride ourselves on giving back to the community because we're your neighbors. It's our community too. In celebration of Foam and Wash's 60th anniversary, we want to say thank you. By visiting the link on screen and in the description, you'll receive one free hot wax and shine car wash. No hassles, no gimmicks, just a token of our appreciation. Foam and Wash Car Wash, home of the Unlimited Wash membership. Thank you for being part of Foam and Wash Car Wash's story for the last 60 years.
This episode is also sponsored by Juniors 2. Come on out to Juniors 2 in Poughkeepsie, New York for Thursday Night Trivia, hosted by CMJW Entertainment. Play as a team as you work your way through four rounds of trivia categories in order to win gift certificates and other prizes. Juniors 2 Trivia Nights, every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. at 1126 Dutchess Turnpike, Poughkeepsie. Next, we have a message from our friend Jeff Feldman from Feldman, Kleiman, Collins, and Sape LLP, attorneys at law.
Hi, I'm Jeff Feldman. In 1986, when Paul Kleiman and I started our practice, our goal was to create a law firm where you could meet with an attorney and feel confident that that attorney would be with you every step of the way. Today, the firm has been successfully trying cases at all levels of state and federal courts throughout the Hudson Valley and Capital District. We have been selected as one of the best personal injury and medical malpractice defense law firms by U.S. News and World Report every year since 2009. For all of those years, we were the only firm chosen in any litigation specialty between Albany and White Plains. Your case is important to us. Giving you the time and personal attention you deserve has always been the hallmark of success. Initial consultations are free of charge and always with an attorney.
Thanks for listening, guys. It's time to get back to the show and play. So I want to talk about where you guys are having the show. The Center for Performing Arts at Rhinebeck, such a staple here in the Hudson Valley. Oh, yeah. They do such amazing shows. They have their own theater companies. Actually, I don't know how many they technically have within their own organization. And then they open up the space to neighboring and collaborative groups such as yourselves. So what's it been like to be able to collaborate with the center and be able to work in the barn in this sense?
We love that space so much. They were, the first official space out in the area to open up their doors to us when we were just getting started. And they've really acted like a home for us ever since. We are really consistently doing work there. And it's interesting because we are kind of the odd child at the center in that, you know, there's...
Which is also kind of ironic to say theater, too.
Yeah.
But yes.
It's like, it's like a niche within a niche.
Yeah.
Like, how did you end up being the strange one? you know, they've got their children's programming and their teen works, and they've got, like, plenty of musicals happening. And, like, it's all exciting and great and wonderful work, but we really come in consistently and we're doing the straight play. We're doing the name that no one's really heard of. We're doing something a little bit more on the fringes and, you know, darker, more contemporary, not necessarily not geared towards family. I would not recommend kids come see our show. And we've had people make that mistake before.
Understandable.
Even with all the warnings. But yeah, we do something that's like a little bit different than the other works that they're putting on. And even still, you know, they are consistently offering us the space and offering us the support. And everyone that I've met through the center has been so, so, so lovely. And Lou Trapani was,
rest in peace.
Yeah.
Love
and
Lou.
He's like the reason that we ended up there in the first place. He put our faith in us. You know, we came in with our pitch and with our vision and, you know, he had that trust in us. And
he was a big fan too.
He was a huge fan of everything we did.
I went in to audition for his production of Hamlet.
I saw that. Yeah.
Tell me stuff that you've done. And I was like, well, I've kind of only, and he was just like looking at my resume, just whatever, or the audition sheet. He was like, tell me what you've done. And I was like, oh, well, I was in Dance Nation. He puts it down. He goes, oh, I saw Dance Nation. I really liked that.
Nice. Yeah. All right. There you go.
Yeah. He was a huge supporter of the content of what we were doing. But I remember after our first show, he came up to us and he was like, that was one of the best things I've ever seen. You need to sell more tickets. Do you have a Facebook page? And we were like, yes, Lou. Yes, we have a Facebook page. We were like, thank you, I think.
Yeah. I understand where he's coming from. It's like, if you got, you know, like,
sure.
When you're that new, it's hard to get out there. You got to stake your claim somehow. Mm-hmm. No, but that's fair. Yeah. No, loved Lou. Kevin, too, worked with him many years ago. Unfortunately, rest in peace as well. Yeah. Did you guys ever have a chance to work with Kevin?
Not me.
No.
I did. He was one of my professors when I went to Dutchess Community College. Yeah,
okay.
He taught my stagecraft and design class.
Oh, that's
and
lovely.
Half the class was learning and half the class was him just telling stories, which is awesome.
That's pretty fair. Yeah, no, he was my choreographer for a number of shows, so that's how I got to know him. So.
Yep.
Such a wonderful legacy of people working there and doing great stuff, but then the people who are currently there are doing lovely things as well. So that being said, the fact that they are so welcoming, the fact that they're bringing everybody in, I'm just curious, outside of Definitely Human, what has been your experiences with it? You said that you were auditioning for Hamlet. I'm just curious, I'll pass it over to you, then back to you. I'm just curious, what experiences have you had with the center outside of Definitely Human?
Outside of Definitely Human, I did do Hamlet. It was a really fun production of Hamlet. I definitely enjoyed working with Lou. And I did tell Joey afterwards, because I was doing Two Gentlemen of Verona at the same time as Hamlet.
Oh, jeez.
Two Gentlemen of Verona, New Jersey. Sorry. That's the original play by Joey and Patrick at the
I
same
love that.
Time as the more traditional version of Hamlet. But I went to Joey and I said, you and Lou kind of direct the same sometimes. And he went, what?
Did they ever work together?
I don't think so.
No, really?
Nope.
Oh, that's fascinating.
But yeah, I've done that. And then I've done, I did Little Women right after Dance Nation, because I was like, okay, I love, because I didn't do theater in college. After high school, I was like, I don't have time for it. And then moving to the Hudson Valley, I moved kind of during the middle of the pandemic, didn't really know anyone, and was like, okay, how do you meet new people? Community theater. So I started going to auditions at the center. I would go like here or there, like call back, not cast. And I was like, it's okay. I've been out of this for a long time, whatever. And then I did Dance Nation and was like, I forgot how much I like loved this. And then I did Little Women, which was fun because it was a huge production. There was singing. It was original script with RTS. But then I did another Definitely Human show and I went, I love theater. I love working with these people more.
That's fair. And when you find like a sense of home in something and you're just like, okay, I can see myself growing and building with this.
Yeah.
That says something.
Yeah.
That absolutely says something. So where were you from originally then, if not the Hudson Valley?
So I grew up in Southern Vermont.
Oh yes. You mentioned Vermont. I'm sorry. Yeah.
But then I was up in Syracuse for school. And then post pandemic, I took the first offer I could get in the area, moved here and have been here ever since. Cause it's just, it's everything I could have asked for from a space.
That's lovely. I'm glad that you've fallen in love with it. I'm glad that it's going so well for you and very excited for this role and the roles to come.
Yeah.
That's terrific. So I'm curious with you now, what has been your perspective working with the center in Rhinebeck outside of Definitely Human?
Yeah. So I started at the center back when I was a teenager, like a young teenager, in lighting design. I was, the first show I ever did there was a Castaway theater production. I'm not sure they're still doing work.
Okay.
But they did more like rock shows at the center. Like they were coming in and doing a lot of rock musicals, which was really my vibe and kind of opened up my understanding of what theater could be, you know, being in high school and being like, oh my gosh, you can do a rock show all the time.
That's pretty sick.
So yeah, and I was doing board hopping and spot hopping. And then it was actually a show with Kevin where I got my first chance to be programming and designing a show in lights. It was a production of Young Frankenstein.
That must have been fun.
It was so fun. And it was during Tech Week and there was all sorts of commotion happening, you know, community theater realness. And he realized that I could use the board. And he was like, oh my gosh, can you program the show? Because we, like, the set designer was also being the lighting designer and it was just
Within a week of the show?
Within a week of the show. Oh. I mean, Tech is when all the light magic happens.
True, but still, you were brought in so late.
Yeah, he was like, can you program the show? And I was like, yeah, but also I was like 16 or 17 at the time, didn't have a car, and I was like, I'll have to stay really late, and I won't have a ride home, so he was driving me home from rehearsals and Tech Week, and it was really, really sweet and a super formative experience.
Yeah.
And just really exciting to be able to do work out in the community, whereas like all of my experiences, I was literally a teenager, was just in school.
Yeah.
And then I kept pursuing lighting design in school, found out quickly that involved a lot more ladders than I liked. So I pivoted to all of the other roles and now my happy place. And now my happy place is like directing. When Joey and I work as a team, because oftentimes on Definitely Human Productions, you'll see it's myself and Joey co-directing most of the time, which is the way we prefer to work. It's just hyper collaboratively.
Nice.
I always find that he's more of the actor's director and I'm more of the designer's director. So I'm looking at it a little bit more technically and he's coming at it a little bit more from the acting framework. I think over the years we've blended, but I think that's where our origins lie.
That's a pretty solid yin and yang then. That's pretty good.
They'll have full conversations without words. And you just have to watch until someone says something.
I've seen people work like that. Absolutely. So I have a sense of what you're talking about. That's interesting. So you mentioned before, you said how Joey kind of directs like Lou in a sense. So that definitely gives me a sense since I knew Lou and everything. But being his co-director, I'm curious, other than being an actor's director, how else would you say, since I thought he was going to be here, I set up another chair. But
now we have to speak for him.
But now we're speaking for him. So say all the gossip, all the crap. Here we go. No, I'm kidding. But like, what is his style like? And what is it like to be able to work off of him like that?
Yeah. Oh gosh, we have really similar foundations because we both went to Dutchess Community College around the same time. So we built a lot of that foundation with each other. But he was really more focused on acting at the time, where I was really more focused on design. So I think he's really in tune with just the physicality of taking up space on stage and telling the story through movement, through voice, through gesture. So he's thinking a lot about that. Whereas sometimes I feel like I'm thinking about more of the zoom out and the stage picture and more of the how many people should be here and what should the light cue be here and how should it all move and interact and how is that pushing the story forward. So yeah, I really appreciate it. And also we're checking each other constantly and just bouncing ideas off of each other and scribbling notes back and forth during rehearsal about what we think about this moment, about this shape, about like the tableau and what what we're saying with the work that we're creating.
Yeah.
And when one of us gets stuck, the other one's able to hop in, which is really nice.
That is. That's convenient.
Directing a lot of the time can be this solitary, difficult thing. And, you know, you read all of these books on, like, how to approach the craft, and that it very typically is this, like, lone work that you're doing, you know, this very kind of singular role. And it doesn't have to be, you know? Like, nothing in theater has to be solo or alone. Like, everything can be a collaboration, and everything can have other people lifting you up. And we take that approach with every aspect.
That's great. Yeah. So, Madison, as one of the actors then, being directed by both of them, I'm curious, what has it been like for you to have direction from not just one, but two directors on something like this? And, as Vanessa was saying, from two kind of different backgrounds, more of a technical and more of a theatrical. Well, the acting, I should say. They're both theatrical.
I mean, it's not something, until Vanessa started describing it, I was like, oh yeah, I can see when the decisions go either way. Like, when Joey's like, do this one thing, and Vanessa's like, no, it'll look better if this happens. Yeah. But as someone who came from, there was only one director and they were making the calls, it's actually really refreshing to have it open up like that. And in fact, it feeds into, like I mentioned earlier, the being able to ask questions yourself, because if they're already having a conversation about it, they're not having it away from you. Like, they're having it with you there and with other people there. So if someone is like, oh, well, what about, we did this other thing earlier, what if we did that? Yeah. They won't ignore it. They'll be like, yes.
Nice.
And it's nice, especially like when I first started with them in Dance Nation, like I didn't know them. I didn't know anyone that well. So I was like, okay, we're doing a show. I'm going to do my best. And it was refreshing. Like, it made the environment feel a lot safer to, like, voice questions that I had. But now also that I've been with them for so long, like, I don't think I've missed a show since Dance Nation, whether it was on stage or, like, doing some kind of technical thing elsewhere, that it's just, like, I'm just hanging out with my friends. If they're in a conversation, I can join in whenever I want.
Oh, that's lovely. No, to be able to... Sorry, let me rephrase that. I've been in positions where people will be like, hey, let's consult in another room away from everybody. And not to say that there's anything wrong with that. Sometimes that is needed very much. But to have that open discussion and that open roundtable, essentially, I think that really is pretty important. So Madison, I'm just curious then, with coming into this, moving to the area, and for the last 3 years now, this has become a really big part of your life. Mm-hmm. This has been something that you find your community, find your people, find inspiration. How do you feel like being a part of Definitely Human has defined you over the last 3 years?
It's a loaded question.
Yeah.
No. I think it, like, you learn and grow from your friends, and, like, really, Vanessa and I were actually joking about this 4th of July weekend, where it was like that whole expression where if your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump too?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, the moral of that is like, no, you should think for yourself. But I was like, no, I have really great friends now. If they're jumping off a bridge, I should probably also do it. Like, because they are so unapologetically themselves. They're so committed to the craft that they do. It's like a group you join and you become a better person from it. Like, I've gotten to act more. So it's like, yeah, maybe I've gotten better at those things, but like, I'm a better person, period, at the end of the day. So it's like, that's all I need. Like, I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that's beautiful.
That's what I've got.
No, that's so beautiful. Vanessa, I'm throwing it to you now. As somebody who's been on the ground floor of it all, what is it like to see your baby develop and grow, not just simply as an entity, as an organization, but also grow literally as a community? Somebody like Madison coming in, all the other people coming in, it's no longer just the four founders. You guys are building something. What has that meant to you over the past 4 years?
It's humbling. It's stunning. It's, I can't even wrap my brain around it. So like, I cannot even articulate it sometimes. It's this really special thing. And every time we come to a new juncture and we're deciding what the next work is, what the next show is, every time we're saying, okay, this is a leap for us. This is a moment of growth. And we're going to see, you know, if we sink or swim, how are we going to fare doing something bigger than we've ever done before in XYZ ways? And just every time, you know, people show out and our community gets bigger. And like, I have found such a close, deep friendship with Madison and others through this process.
I should have brought the tissues out.
So it's just like gratifying in ways I couldn't even fathom that it's now I'm building this community of folks who are really like-minded and energized in the same ways. And not necessarily like-minded and like, oh, we all agree on everything all the time. But like, people bring differing opinions. And like, if there's conflict, it's like never anything that's absolutely unnavigable. Yeah. You know, everyone brings their different opinions, and it also keeps us really, you know, in tune and constantly making sure that we're listening to everyone around us. And as our community gets bigger, we're making sure everyone's taken care of, and we're thinking about the folks who are around us and working with us as we make all of our continuing choices. And yeah, there, like Madison was saying, the first time I asked her to be involved in a production, not in an acting role, but in a technical role, we were doing a one-person show, and I was like, but I really want Madison involved. And I came to her with this other role, and she was like, I'll do anything with you guys. Whatever it is, I'm down. And I was so incredibly moved by it. And we just are backed by so many people who are like, whatever you guys are doing, I'm here for the ride. Mm-hmm. And it's so special. It feels like we're creating this collective voice and vision.
No, that is great. It's pretty impressive what you've been able to do in 4 years.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. No, I think that's lovely. As we are getting to the end of this episode, of course, I just want to remind everybody, Next Door is going to be playing at the Center for Performing Arts in Rhinebeck, July 31st through August 2nd. You can get your tickets online now. I believe they're going for like $25. Is that right?
Yes.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. So we'll make sure that we have all the links in the description of this episode so that you can check it out. Clear your calendars right now. So I know, clear them. I know you're on your phone anyway. You're listening to this. But either way, so before we completely wrap up, do you guys have any last little nugget on Next Door? Anything that you want to leave for the audience listening right now? What can they expect? What should they hope? What do you hope they get out of it? Anything like that? Anybody want to start?
I'll just say this in terms of like, maybe not, this is not specific to Next Door, just at the top. This is really, it does apply heavily, but it's true for almost every production, if not every production that Definitely Human Theater does. If you are not a theater person, if you're like, I'm not going to sit down and watch a stuffy play or go see some musical, this is theater for people who don't typically go to theater. Mm-hmm. It is exciting. It is engaging. It is an experience you'll want to have in person. Like if you're going to scroll on your TV and like try to find something to watch again and again, and again, just go see this show. Cause it's like, it'll be something you'll talk about for like weeks after.
Mm-hmm. That's solid. I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
Vanessa?
It's urgent. It's contemporary. It's extremely contemporary. It was written in 2025 about things happening in 2025. And it's these voices of these characters are all extremely contemporary and cuttingly modern. And it's so, so, so funny. And there's so much heart in the show. And there's a lot of lasagna and a lot of chaos.
A lot of lasagna.
There's so much lasagna and so much chaos.
I love it. So are you guys actually baking the lasagna? Is there just going to be a crap ton of lasagna every single show?
There's going to be lasagna in every modality you can imagine. Real lasagna, fake lasagna, the concept of lasagna.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
In my dreams.
Oh my God. Hey, you know what? If it's an excuse to eat lasagna on stage, I'm down for it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. All right. So bring your bibs, bring your forks, and also bring your enthusiasm, because this is going to be a great show over at the Center for Performing Arts. Definitely Human Theater. You can check them out online. I'm going to have the link to their website in the description as well. You can see galleries of past shows along with learning more about future auditions and more that they got going on. Vanessa, Madison, I'm so happy that you guys were able to come in today. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
I'm Connor.
I'm Vanessa.
I'm Madison.
And as always, we're glad we get to
spend some time.
And that's a wrap on this week's episode. Much love to our sponsors this week, MHA of Dutchess County, Foam and Wash Car Wash, Juniors 2, the Kyle Robinson Memorial Foundation, Council on Addiction Prevention and Education of Dutchess County Incorporated, Dayrock, Feldman, Kleiman, Collins & Sape, LLP, Attorneys at Law, and Walsh Valuation. Last but not least, thank you to our Walsh Wednesday All-Stars, those who have generously contributed to the 2026 Walsh Wednesday Fund Drive. It's through your support that Walsh Wednesday can continue to bring quality programming. If you'd like to donate or learn more about becoming a sponsor, please email connor@cmjwentertainment.com. Thank you once again, and for Walsh Wednesday, I'm Connor, and I'm glad we get to spend some time.